Many people are wondering why Speaker Mike Johnson has suddenly become America last and Ukraine first. It's been quite the change around if you've been following him politically over the years. So, why is he all of a sudden pro-Ukraine? Well, many of us are starting to figure that out, and Breitbart News has done a great job at doing that. But before we jump into that, I wanted to play a clip of Johnson trying to explain why he has suddenly prioritized Ukraine over us. Take a listen.
I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys.
He'd rather secure other countries' borders than our own. That's what it sounds like to so many of us here in the United States, and that's why we're so infuriated. But like I said, it wasn't always this way for Speaker Johnson. It's actually the reason why so many Americans were extremely happy when they saw that he was now going to be taking over the speakership. But so many of his colleagues and allies and friends are starting to wonder what has happened to this man. Last week, as many of you know, I sat with Chairman Jim Jordan and asked him specifically that question. Take a listen. I mean, he's a constitutional attorney as well, and we were very hopeful when he took over as speaker. I think a lot of Americans were hopeful, and they thought that we'd get a lot of these issues resolved. There seems to be a lot of things that are taking place right now that don't seem to be in character with the man that we've known for so long now. Are you a little concerned that he might be kind of taking the wrong path on all of these issues?
Well, Mike's a friend, and he's a good man, wonderful, wonderful family, Christian man. Him and Kelly are friends with Polly and I. And it's a tough job with a small majority. I get all that. I understand all that. And you know, God bless him. But look, I disagreed with the spending bill that happened a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem with that spending bill was sort of in the same area. There were all kinds of earmarks and things that I didn't like and the woke stuff and all this.
Yeah.
But the part that bothered me the most, to be honest, $200 million additional dollars for an FBI headquarters in Maryland. Mm-hmm. Like, the same FBI that, and this is why you got to back to the Warren issue. The same FBI that spied on President Trump's campaign, the same FBI that said, oh, we need to investigate parents showing up at school board meetings, the same FBI who said, if you're a pro-life Catholic, you're an extremist. And the same FBI who retaliated against whistleblowers that came and talked to our committee about these concerns. That's the FBI that you're giving a $200 million to for a new headquarters. And that's the FBI that you don't want to require a warrant before they go search this database. I don't think so. So that's the part that bothered me. I understand it's a tough job, and you know, we're trying to be helpful to the speaker in every way we can.
So why has he suddenly changed? Well, Breitbart News has been doing some digging on the issue, and they've been dropping a couple of exclusives that we want to bring your attention to. The first one up came yesterday from Breitbart, and in it details somebody who's very high up right now in his staffer team, someone named Dan Ziegler. Dan Ziegler was previously a lobbyist before being brought on to join the speaker again as a member of his team. The firm he previously worked for was allegedly the firm called Williams and Jensen. Now, they have worked with plenty of clients, top companies that have made public statements about Ukraine and have also detailed business operations and how it might be affected with the war in Ukraine right now. But Breitbart explains that Ziegler's not alone. There's several staffers working with Johnson that have questionable backgrounds. But it's also not just that. Just today, Breitbart also dropped another update on that story, and it's regarding someone who's also very high up and close to Johnson. The director of House Operations, Hannah Ferreher. She is somebody who I've tried reaching out several times, folks. She doesn't respond, never does when you ask her for comment on any of these questions. When you call, she doesn't answer. Nobody answers Johnson's phones either, which is strange because most of the time there's always a staffer that picks up the DC lines, but theirs just goes to a full inbox and you can't connect with anyone. But I reached out to her again today to follow up on Breitbart's allegation saying that she's a never Trumper. She didn't respond, neither did anyone at the team. But it's important to note that Breitbart got their hands exclusively on emails. These emails show Hannah was very upset with the DC Young Republicans and their endorsement of President Donald J. Trump for the 2024 election. Hannah emailed them asking for refunds because, well, she thinks that it violated their own rules. And, well, they responded back by saying no refunds. Hannah responded, and the emails are all included in this Breitbart article. She responded, "That's blank. Ridiculous. You're a joke." So the F word was used there. I was going to say it, but I probably shouldn't. You might have kids watching. And then the DC Young Republicans replied to Hannah by saying, "Don't care, loser." So it's been a great report that they've been putting out there. Let's bring in the Breitbart News Washington Bureau Chief, Matthew Boyle, to discuss all of this with us. Matthew, thank you for jumping on. We're so happy to have you. And you guys have been doing the hard work behind all this and doing the digging. So thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Great to be here. Yeah, and this is really troubling stuff. So if you want answers as to why Mike Johnson has changed from what he used to be, which he voted against Ukraine aid. He voted against it when Kevin McCarthy was the speaker. There was $300 million in Ukraine aid in the Pentagon defense budget right before McCarthy was vacated as speaker. He voted against that. He voted against tens of billions of dollars at the end of Nancy Pelosi's speakership. And now all of a sudden he's trying to send even more than both of those things he voted against combined from his office to Vladimir Zelensky so that he can mortgage America's future to give this Ukrainian con man more of our treasure. It's just remarkable. So why did that happen? Well, the people around him, the people on his staff, appear to be compromised, and they're compromising him as well. So there's this man named Dan Ziegler. We had this first story that we did last night, which was an extremely extensive research and investigation into this man named Dan Ziegler. He's the top policy advisor to Speaker Johnson. He runs all policy for the Speaker's office. This guy, until last year when Mike Johnson was elected Speaker, was a lobbyist at a firm called Williams & Jensen. Now, this firm has a number of different clients that would benefit financially and that have issued corporate statements talking about this from the United States Congress passing a Ukraine aid package. Several of them say in their corporate compliance things that the Ukraine-Russia war affects their business. And many of these are companies that lobbying disclosures, Mr. Ziegler says were his clients, right? One of them is his company, Bloom Energy. There's a sensor technology company as well that literally says in its corporate compliance statements that its business opportunities in Russia and Ukraine are affected by the war. This Bloom Energy company, another one, does business with Lockheed Martin, right? Like, which obviously will benefit if this package passes. Then in addition to that, Bloom Energy stock price, according to Forbes magazine and other trade publications, has actually benefited from the war, because what's happening is the Europeans are turning to other forms of energy rather than Russian natural gas. So this is who's advising and working for and running all the policy stuff for Speaker Johnson. That's not to mention all the pharmaceutical companies, by the way, that he worked for. I know your history, Brianna, with Fox and the vax mandate and everything. This guy's a Pfizer lobbyist, right? Like, Pfizer was one of his clients. Merck was one of his clients. Eli Lilly was one of his clients, right? So these major pharmaceutical companies. So what you have right now is the person directing and controlling Mike Johnson in the House of Representatives is literally a Pfizer lobbyist. It's literally somebody who, until November of last year, was working on the interests of all of these different companies, not on the interests of the American people. For what it's worth, the Speaker's office refused to answer questions about this. They refused to comment formally. I spoke to Raj Shah, who is the top spokesman for the speaker. We've asked him detailed questions, refused to answer all of them. And it's not just this guy Ziegler. There's other people in the inner orbit of Speaker Johnson that are problematic. There's this man named Josh Hodges, who's Ziegler's number two. Josh Hodges is the national security advisor to Speaker Johnson. This is a similar person who has very serious background issues and whatnot. And we've spoken to sources who say that he is a big part of this as well. And then obviously also, as you mentioned there, this director of operations, Hannah Freyer, with these emails that we've uncovered showing her having a never Trump conniption when the DC Young Republicans endorsed Donald Trump for president in 2024. This is extremely troubling stuff. And frankly, any of the people that are out there interviewing Speaker Johnson, because he's out there doing this media tour. He was on Jake Tapper. He's doing Greta Van Susteren show. He's Fox News all the time. They need to ask him these questions. By the way, I mean, as a purportedly Christian man, I don't know how he feels about Miss Hannah using the F word in those emails, right? Like, so I don't know. We'll see. But the thing is that I think, beyond her colorful language, the fact is that these business ties and compromising information and this never Trump stuff is troubling. And I think we need to get to the bottom of it. And the speaker needs to be held accountable.
Absolutely, he does. And there's a lot of questions around the people who he's hiring. I know, you mentioned Raj, who's somebody who actually used to work at Fox News. And so when I reached out to him, I tried using the Fox connection. And well, although he forwarded my emails to people who should have been able to help me on his team, they don't respond. And that's just the reality is his team, the people he surrounds himself with, don't want to answer questions. And when you ask other congressional offices what's going on with Speaker Johnson, they don't really know. And they just will specifically tell you that Johnson has picked some of the worst people to work with him. And I mean, I know I've had these discussions when I was just on the Hill last week, and they'll tell you specifically that they think it's the worst office, that he's somehow surrounded himself with the worst people who just don't even know how to run an office. And I get it, right? He did not really want to be speaker. This wasn't something that he was looking for, but he became speaker and he agreed to become speaker. And so we've given him over, 6 months now, and he hasn't really made any of these fixes and instead has surrounded himself with toxic people. You know, you're mentioning Ziegler, and it just seems like, why would you, somebody who claims to be a constitutional attorney as well, why would you sit there and surround yourself with people with questionable pasts? And on top of it all, I mean, just about the Ukraine stuff, you know, you mentioned he was against aiding Ukraine and he somehow has turned around and pretended like, oh, he saw the light and now understands why we need to do that. He did the same thing last week with FISA as well and said that after speaking with the intel community that they've changed his mind significantly. So that shows to me that he's easy to manipulate, and people like Ziegler are dangerous to have around you when you're that easy to manipulate, especially because he's a lobbyist. So he knows how to do just that. Have you spoken to anyone directly about this report? Is anyone looking to make some changes over at Johnson's office? Are you hearing from anyone that they're going to clean house soon? Because everyone's talking about this in Congress. I know that every other congressional office is really upset about this.
Yeah, so a few things on that. First and foremost, regarding the speaker not wanting to be speaker, they all want to be speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. I remember when Paul Ryan claimed that he didn't want to be speaker. That was a lie. That's a lie about Johnson, too. It's just a fake facade that they put forward. They crave power. And what he's trying to do right now with this whole rule, and he'll do it if he can get away with it, with the foreign aid bill, is he's going to try to raise the threshold for a motion to vacate from one member to several. I don't know exactly how many. There are reports about that. And Congressman Thomas Massey has weighed in on this and said, compared it to banana republics in third world countries where people try to claim power, because, of course, he's in the presidential line of succession. So he's playing Game of Thrones right now. Mike Johnson is with his power. But the regarding these particular reports regarding the staff, I've spoken to members across the Republican conference, both in the House and in the Senate. I've spoken to members. I've spoken to staffers. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is obviously the one with the motion to vacate out there, that threat looming over Johnson's head, actually tweeted the article last night, but it's far beyond her talking about this. Other leadership, every single staffer on Capitol Hill, I can guarantee you this, has read the story. Every single one. I know that to be true. I've spoken to, if anybody challenges my sources, I'm the most deeply sourced reporter on the right, right? Like, I know every Republican in leadership. I know the speaker. I've spoken to the speaker many times over the years. He knows my work. He respects my work. I know that he read the story. He has not weighed in about it. I've interviewed Elise Stefanik. I've interviewed Tom Emmer. I've interviewed Steve Scalise. I was very close with Kevin McCarthy when he was the speaker. I know President Trump really well. So I know that all of these people and more across the board are aware of this. The question is will they do something about it, right? Like, so at this stage, I have little confidence that Mike Johnson is capable of fixing these issues. He's had months to do it, and he seems to be more interested in preserving his own power and protecting himself at the detriment of Republicans, conservatives, and the broader American people. He is trying to cut deals with Democrats. The latest stuff is they will not succeed in getting the rule to the floor for this foreign aid without Democrat support. The Freedom Caucus has issued a formal opinion against it, saying that they should vote down the rule because this is America's last package. So the real question becomes, will Speaker Johnson continue down this path of betrayal? And then what's next afterwards if he survives this? Like, and I don't know if he's going to or not. I have no idea how this shakes out. But this is truly just extremely shocking stuff. But the fact is, if he survives it, then what's the next betrayal that lay beyond this one, right? Like, as you mentioned, the FISA stuff last week, the government funding stuff 2 or 3 weeks ago, now this, what's next, right? Because he's going to keep doing this because he's clearly compromised by these lobbyists who have other interests in the American people that are working on his staff. And then also another question that Raj has refused to answer on behalf of the speaker. Now, he will answer some questions with me, but I have to play very aggressive with him to force answers out of him on this stuff, which I shouldn't have to do, right? Like, I shouldn't have to be like this. But one question he refused to answer is whether or not Dan Ziegler got some kind of a waiver, right? Like, to serve, because he went straight from being lobbyist right to being the speaker's top guy. I don't know what the rules are on this in terms of the House Republican Conference and staffers and lobbyists and the revolving door and whatnot. But one would seem that if this isn't illegal, it should be. And if it isn't unethical, it should be. Right. Like, it's highly suspect stuff. And frankly, you know, if there are good people on his team, and there are, right, like there are people on his team that are speaking out quietly, there are leaks pouring out of Mike Johnson's office. They need to, now's the time to be brave. Now's the time to do something because and even if it's the littlest thing, right, like this is the moment. This is it. Right. Like, because your country is on the line. This is the moment to step up and do something.
Yeah, well, Speaker Johnson was supposed to be our last line of defense to protect conservative values and to protect our country. And sadly, it looks like he has fallen. Now, according to CNN today, and I normally wouldn't quote CNN, but CNN says a number of Democrats are indicating that they will vote to save Mike Johnson, especially if he moves forward on the Ukraine aid package. And that's if Marjorie Taylor Greene's plans, Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene's plans for motion to vacate do go forward. I know Massey, Congressman Massey did back that yesterday as well. Do you think there's enough support for the motion to vacate? And also, do you predict if they do get their way that we might be in some serious trouble and we might end up with a Democrat as speaker?
I don't think we end up with a Democrat as speaker because there's two more Republicans on the way. I talked to Congresswoman Green about this the other night. We did a big interview with her a couple nights ago where she laid out her plan. She's, of course, being extremely studious and careful with this in ways that we didn't see in the effort with regard to getting rid of McCarthy before, where they just did it and said, whatever will be, will be. I think that there's a pressure building on Speaker Johnson to resign his office. And if he doesn't, then that's when the backup plans will kick into place and they will make sure that a Republican speaker gets elected. I don't think that. So one of the things that the congresswoman said to me is that she does not believe that Johnson will be the speaker for much longer. She wouldn't put an exact time on it, but she said it could be 2 weeks. It could be 2 months. It could be the next Congress. But the day, you know, his speakership is over, and the only one who hasn't accepted that reality is Mike Johnson. So we'll see how that shakes out. Now, if Democrats vote to save him, then I think that they will call it again and again and again, the motion to vacate over and over and over again, and he'll lose more Republicans every time that happens, because he will then be the Democrat Speaker of the House, right? Like he will be totally compromised at that point, right? Like, so that's an unsustainable pathway for him. The idea that would help him is just not sustainable. So I don't think that will work. So they might do it on the first one, but then they'll call it again. And then they'll call it again and again and again.
Yeah, that's how I see it playing out too. Matthew, thank you for all the hard work you guys are doing over at Breitbart News. Again, to our audience, you got to head over there. If you want to read these reports in detail, that's the best source to do so. I highly recommend it. Matthew, thank you for joining us, and keep us posted on all of this because you guys are doing great work.
You bet. Anytime. Reach out anytime.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow, towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Man, we really do love all of the MyPillow products, and we appreciate their support of this show. So if you're looking to support people that support us by supporting them, you gotta head over to MyPillow.com right now. And well, if Brianna's too difficult to spell, we've got you. You could use promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, to get up to 66% off. It's the best promo code you can use. So head over to MyPillow.com and use promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, to secure up to 66% off. Talk about all the time, folks. Those slippers, those Giza bed sheets, those towels are my top favorite picks. So give it a look over at MyPillow.com and use promo code BREE.